I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Tara.
And I'm Sean.
And we're hashtag Just Saying podcast. Are you looking for fun?
You looking for laughs?
Do you enjoy classic movies?
You want pop culture facts?
Actually,
you found the right show. Hashtag Just Saying the podcast.
Check us out on SoundCloud,
iTunes,
and Stitcher, wherever quality podcasts are heard. And on YouTube, you can join us for a great time. And
have a good everything.
All right, settle down, settle down. Take your seats. Come on, let's go. Take your seats. Thank you. Thank you.
Good evening, class. I'm Tony Spears, and you're listening to Binary Gamer, where we're going to learn a little something about video games. So this week is going to be a little bit different. I know I'm a day late, and I apologize, but I had a wedding to go to this weekend. It was a great wedding, by the way. And due to the wedding and some recent events that have happened to a very close personal friend of mine, I thought it would kind of be better to sort of shelf the lesson for this week and focus more on, you know, why it is we play video games, and that is to have fun and also inadvertently to make memories. So what I'm going to talk about this week is more about the memories associated with games, and it's primarily centered around two people. So one example I can give is, let's say my friend who just recently got married, we were both deployed together in Iraq, and we bonded over a lot of stuff, baseball, life in general, a lot about music and stuff, but really, when it kind of came down to it, we bonded a lot over video games, and it's not like we didn't have anything else in common. We had a lot in common, but one of the things we definitely both enjoyed was playing games together, and a lot of our other friends that were there with us, my brothers, if you will, we all bonded over the games together. So one example, the best example really, is when Halo 3 was released. So I had played through Halo 1 and Halo 2, like anybody else coming up in the early 2000s had. But when Halo 3 came out, it was a big deal. We were all in Iraq, and my friend Keith went down to a very particular spot in Iraq where he was going to be able to get a copy the day it released out there. It was a big deal. It was so big, they brought day one copies to Iraq. It was pretty crazy. And so we all waited with bated breath. And then Keith came back from mission, and he had this copy of Halo 3, and then it was just game on after that. We played through the campaign, first on Heroic, then on Legendary, just smashing through the campaign, and then we started playing multiplayer. So we were nothing if not inventive, and we fashioned a very crude makeshift network out of so many, just thousands of yards of Cat5 cable that it would blow your mind, and a very rudimentary routing switch. And we hooked up four Xboxes together, four Xbox 360s, and proceeded to play just the most ungodly number of tournaments against each other in that game. So much so that we had designated teams, and then we went through and we were whooping each other within our platoon, and then after a while, we started taking the fight outside the platoon because now everybody had copies of the game, and it got crazy. But one of the memories that I always remember from that deployment is sitting there, me and then Breitenstein on the bed. We were sharing a TV, and then a couple other guys were down the way inside of the big bay that we slept in. Big, huge concrete building. And they were on our team, two guys on another TV, so on and so forth down the line until we had 8-on-8. And it was so many nights of just staying up way longer than what we should have in order to play Halo 3. And just, it was a blast. It was probably one of the highlights of my gaming career. Definitely one of those things that, like, I look back on, I was like, man, that was just, it was so much fun, just hours and hours playing that. A lot of other people, you know, that I was there with, a lot of my other friends and stuff, like, there were still those moments with games. I remember staying up way too late playing Midnight Club 2 with my buddy Dave, sitting there with this pimped out GTO judge in the game and just wrecking everybody. We named the car after one of our drill sergeants. That's how beastly this car was. And just playing hours and hours of that game. And just, I mean, staying up way too late and, you know, suffering for it the next day. But, oh, man, it was so much fun. And then a lot of other times, I mean, I had my own personal memories of playing video games when I was deployed. That was when I had beaten Shadow of the Colossus for the very first time. And that was a really weird moment for me because I was so sleep deprived. I was falling asleep at the very end of the game. Like, I had beaten the last Colossi, and I remember going through, like, the end cinematic and trying to pay attention to what was going on, trying to, you know, capture the rest of the story so I could see the conclusion, and just, I was fading in and out of sleep. I was so sleep deprived. And I mean, I ended up seeing the final moments, and it was awesome. It was definitely, you know, it was worth the sleep deprivation and the, you know, hour and a half of sleep I got going into the next mission and everything. But still, you know, it's one of those things that I look back on and I'm just like, man, that was a really cool moment. You know what I mean? And it's funny because a lot of those moments, it doesn't really matter, like, where you are. The place just kind of acts as the setting, obviously, duh. But it's more about the way the memory impacts you and the way you look back at it, and you're just like, whoa, that was so cool. Like, another memory that stands out in my head is getting my first copy of Bushido Blade for the PS1. And, man, did I play the crap out of that game. I thought it was so cool, too, because it's a lot like, for those following recent news, For Honor just entered their closed beta. A lot of stuff going around about that. A lot of really cool trailers and videos and stuff like that. The game looks really cool. And it's funny because that game reminds me a lot of Bushido Blade, because there's, like, I guess the best way to put it is, like, locational damage. You know, like, if you clip someone in the arm with your sword, they're not going to be able to use that arm as well, or sometimes not use the arm at all. Like, in the leg, they'll bleed from the side, stuff like that, if you don't get, like, a killing blow. Bushido Blade was very much like that. In fact, it's kind of the forefather of that type of technique in a weapon-based martial arts game, where you have all these different weapons, stuff like that, all these different fighters, and the way the person fights is different based on the combination of the fighter and the weapon. And I remember so many nights playing that game with my friend Cody, and just, oh man, just, so we made a game out of the game. That's when you know something is really good, when you play it for so long, you kind of create your own metagame within it. We had made a game that we called Quick Draw. So every character in the game has some form of like ranged weapon, something they throw. You only get it once unless you pick it up. And so we would just start the match and we would just wait for the countdown. And then we would both go through the animation, which it was like a quick combination of, like, things like crouch forward and punch or something like that. And you would throw the weapon. And we each had our own warrior that we preferred. And that was the game. It was, how many times could you take out the other guy with just your throwing weapon? And then there would often be times where you would throw it and they would collide midair. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, now we got to fight. And you'd be running around fighting and stuff. And, oh, man, just so many times. I can't remember how many times I actually won with both of my arms disabled. As dumb as that sounds, like, drop my weapon, don't have my other arm, I'm just running around like a chicken with its arms cut off. And I would, like, run Cody off of the map. Like, you know, I would essentially get, like, a ring out. And, I mean, it was cheap, yes, but I can't tell you how many times that just had me rolling, because, I don't know, it was just funny. It's something that you never think about in the game. I'm pretty sure when the designers of the game were going through and, you know, writing out all the stuff that you were going to be able to do in the game, I'm pretty sure one of them wasn't headbutt your friend off of the stage. But we, like I said, we were able to make our own little metagames inside the game. And in my opinion, that's a really cool aspect of games, is you do have that opportunity to kind of twist it to your own liking and to make your own experience within the experience. So like, and it's definitely a lot more apparent in like couch co-op games, like games where, you know, you're sitting there with your friend and you're playing, you know, side by side. And another one is Rush 64 for the, obviously, Nintendo 64. And we would just play tag. I mean, as soon as you hit someone, you would blow up. Like, both of you would blow up. So there's no real winner in this scenario, but it would just be like, oh, I'm it. And then you're just going to just smash into them as fast as you can and just cause all kinds of havoc. Those are the memories that I miss. Like, things that allowed you to kind of make your own mode or game within the game. I know there's, you know, there's like custom matches and stuff like that in games, but, you know, the very first time you played like an all rocket game in Halo, and you're just like, no, all rockets, 300% energy shield, let's go. And you're just, it's just total chaos flying back and forth. Rockets flying everywhere. Total anarchy. But it was a lot of fun, especially in the map boarding action. I think that's where the rocket jump was invented, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, like, the real rocket jump. You get rocket jump in games like Quake and Unreal, but, like, real rocket jumping was sort of spawned in Halo. There are those that would disagree with me, but that's just my opinion. But, yeah, that map, I remember the first time I saw someone pull off a rocket jump across the chasm on boarding action, you're just like, that is so cool. And then it became a game of skeet where we'd have someone fly across, and then we would shoot at them with rockets and see who could nail them. You know what I mean? It's like I said, it's making your own game within the game. And I think some of that is kind of lost now because a lot of things want to be very focused on the mechanics or the story of the game, or, you know, how those two things marry together. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, something like Mass Effect. Mass Effect's never going to have the ability for you to kind of create your own meta within the game. It doesn't work that way. It's not supposed to. It's not built around that. It's built to have really solid RPG elements and mechanics, and also have a very compelling and driving storyline that, you know, keeps you going on. And that's not a shortcoming on Mass Effect. The Mass Effect trilogy is considered one of the greatest series in video games, and I'm not one to dispute that at all because I personally love it. So it's really all about taking that thing that you love in a game and kind of making it your own, you know, making your own fun out of the fun, or in the fun anyway. And I know this sounds like a weird diatribe where I'm just kind of just making stuff up, but, you know, sometimes I sit here and I think so much about what I'm trying to learn from games and going back and learning about the history of games that I find myself forgetting to just enjoy games. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to get away from having fun with games. And so I think periodically I'm going to do episodes like this where I just kind of point out, you know, the awesome little things in games, and hopefully have people on here with me to express that joy as well, because I think that needs to be shared. I mean, I could sit here and go on and on about, you know, the technical marvel that the first Halo was, or, you know, Halo 3 for that matter, which, let's be honest, that's considered the best Halo game. But regardless, you know, I could go on and on about, you know, the technical reasons of why it's awesome. But the real reasons why I think it's awesome is because of the memories that I have with my friends experiencing that game, whether it was, you know, for the first time together or the 100th time together. It doesn't matter. It's still a good time. I guarantee you right now, if I went and I got a whole bunch of Xbox 360s together, strapped some Cat 5 cable to my back, went down to Illinois and got a whole bunch of my friends, to include Keith, all together, and we just were gathered around in his house with a bunch of TVs and a bunch of Xboxes, slap on some Halo 3, I guarantee you we would have a blast. And it would probably be another one of those great memories. So that's what I wanted to leave this off on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Binary Gamer. This is a weekly podcast. We are home on the Home for Nerds website, homeofnerds.com, where you can find all of the latest and greatest news, articles, periodicals, and reviews from the wide world of video games. Everything from Nintendo, PlayStation, Sony, Microsoft, PC, just tech in general, you name it, it's all there, man. So go ahead, definitely head over to homeofnerds.com to check that out. And go to iTunes to leave a review if you like what you hear. If you don't, that's cool too. And of course, you can find everything that I do on iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM. The podcast is everywhere. Everywhere you find podcasts is where it's at. And you can also hit me up on Twitter at iFlippaTheSwitch. That's all one word. iFlippaTheSwitch. And, yep, that is going to do it for this episode of Binary Gamer. Well, you know what? Real quick. I know I always have a hard time closing this out, and I apologize. But I want you guys to tell me about your favorite video game memories. Just whatever it is. Whether it's just, you know, you sitting down playing with your brother, or your best friends having a LAN party over at your house, or, you know, one of those moments where you kind of made a game within the game. You know what I mean? Definitely let me know. Put it in the comments. Hit me up on Twitter and share them with me. And I will share them in the next episode. So that is going to be it for this episode of Binary Gamer. Thank you very much for listening. I'm Tony Spears. Class dismissed.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.